Might as well have had.
Sorry.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Chiedo un cessate il fuoco immediato.
I call for an immediate ceasefire on all fronts, including Lebanon. Let us pray for the Lebanese, especially for the people in the south, who are forced to leave their villages.
Pope Francis calls for immediate ceasefires in Lebanon and Gaza as Israel intensifies its attacks while vigils are being held across Israel to mark the first anniversary of the October 7th attack. We'll speak to Maoz Inan, an Israeli peace activist whose parents were killed on October 7th.
Happened to my parents on October 7th. Some nights I cried throughout the night.
If somebody kills your brother, you want to hurt whoever hurts your family.
Every relationship that I will be able to build with Palestinians, it's very meaningful.
It didn't matter to me that his parents were Jewish. Those who were killed were my people too.
We'll also speak to Palestinian peace activist Aziz Abu Sada. Maoz and Aziz recently met with the Pope, as well as U.S. Congress members, as they tour the world calling for a ceasefire and an end to the occupation and war. They're featured in the new documentary, The Path Forward. The film's co-director, Oscar-nominated Julie Cohen, will also join us. And we'll talk to Palestinian poet Mossab Abu Toha. He left Gaza in December after being jailed by the Israeli military.
It's been a devastating year. Gaza has been turned into a heap of ruins, and the hope of surviving is diminishing day after day.
But first, we go to Beirut as Israel intensifies its bombardment of Lebanon. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's military has ordered hundreds of thousands of Palestinians to evacuate their homes or face death as it launches a fresh ground offensive in the northern Gaza Strip. The latest mass evacuation order came on the first anniversary of the start of Israel's brutal assault on Gaza following Hamas's surprise attack on October 7th. Over the weekend, at least 26 Palestinians were killed after Israel forces attacked a mosque and a school sheltering displaced people in Deir al-Balah. Elsewhere, at least 9 children were among 17 killed when Israel's military bombed the Jabalia refugee camp. Many residents were unable or unwilling to leave their homes.
I am staying here. Where else would I go? I want to die here. As long as they say that evacuation is forbidden, where will I go? We are staying. If they want us to die, so be it. And I suffer from osteoarthritis. Where do I go?
On Sunday, an Israeli artillery shell struck the home of 19-year-old journalist Hassan Hamad in Jabalia, killing him. In recent weeks, Hamad had received death threats via WhatsApp from an Israeli number. He also received phone calls and text messages from an Israeli officer ordering him to stop filming. Hassan Hamad is at least the 175th Palestinian journalist killed in Gaza since last October. He's among at least 41,900 Palestinians killed over the past year in Gaza. Another 97,000 have been injured, according to Gaza's health ministry, though those figures are certain to be a vast undercount. Dozens of massive explosions rocked the Lebanese capital overnight Sunday, marking Israel's heaviest bombardment on Beirut and the city's southern suburbs since Israel widened its war on Lebanon 2 weeks ago. Earlier today, Israeli warplanes bombed a fire station in the town of Barakhit, killing at least 8 people. On Sunday, Hezbollah fired rockets at the Israeli port city of Haifa, wounding at least 10 people. Israel's assault has now displaced 1.2 million people in Lebanon. After headlines, we'll go to Beirut for the latest. In Israel, The loved ones of hostages took to the streets over the weekend, blocking traffic in Tel Aviv, holding protests marking the one-year anniversary of the October 7th Hamas attack. Over 1,100 people were killed in Israel in the Hamas-led attacks a year ago, while at least 250 were taken hostage. Around 100 of the hostages remain in Gaza, though only 70 of them are still believed to be alive. 105 hostages were released by Hamas during a temporary ceasefire in November. This is Yael Orr, whose cousin Dror was killed 1 year ago, but whose body remains held in Gaza.
Why are they still in Gaza a full year later? Because of Netanyahu. Netanyahu wants to stay in power forever. And to do that, he has dragged Israel into eternal, never-ending war. This means that our hostages have been abandoned in Hamas death tunnels deep under Gaza. Netanyahu has committed crime against his own people.
Later in the broadcast, we'll speak with Israeli peace activist Maoz Inan, who lost both his parents in the October 7th attack. We'll also speak with Aziz Abu Sara, a Palestinian peace activist. Together, Maoz and Aziz have traveled the world, met with the Pope and U.S. Congress members, calling for an end to the occupation, an end to war, and calling for a permanent ceasefire. French President Emmanuel Macron says France is no longer sending arms to Israel and called on other nations to halt deliveries of weapons.
Néanmoins, nous essayons aussi d'être cohérents.
However, we also try to be consistent. And when we call for ceasefires, this is the case for Gaza. This was also the case for Lebanon last week. Well, we try not to call for a ceasefire while continuing to deliver weapons of war. And I think it's just consistency.
Meanwhile, in an interview with CBS's 60 Minutes, Vice President Kamala Harris defended U.S. military aid to Israel, which soared to a record $17.9 billion over the past year. A senior Pentagon official warned the White House last October that Israel's plan to uproot more than a million Palestinians from their homes in Gaza would be a humanitarian disaster and could violate international law, leading to war crime charges against Israel. That's according to Reuters, which reports the warning came in an October 13th email to the White House from Dana Struhl, then the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for the Middle East. Struhl wrote that an assessment by the Red Cross predicting a humanitarian catastrophe from Israel's mass expulsion order had left her chilled to the bone. Despite those concerns and similar dire warnings from the State Department's Bureau of Democracy, Labor, and Human Rights, the White House expedited the transfer of weapons to Israel, including thousands of precision-guided missiles and 2,000-pound bombs. Meanwhile, DropSite News is reporting Secretary of State Antony Blinken last October signed off on a plan by Israel to bomb trucks bringing humanitarian aid into Gaza. Blinken's approval came after he joined an emergency meeting of Israel's war cabinet at the Israeli military headquarters in Tel Aviv last October 16th and 17th. After the talks, cabinet member Bezalel Smotrich said, quote, "We in the cabinet were promised at the outset that aid trucks hijacked by Hamas and its organization would be bombed from the air and the aid would be halted," he said. Hundreds of thousands of protesters marched in cities across the world Saturday to demand an end to Israel's brutal assault on Gaza and its widening war on Lebanon. Huge crowds flooded the streets of London, Berlin, Paris, Istanbul, Melbourne, Australia, Cape Town, South Africa, and Karachi, Pakistan, in solidarity with Palestinians. Here in the United States, protesters rallied in downtown Washington, D.C., near the White House. This is Anissa Daoudi of the Palestinian Youth Movement.
Our several here in the United States, and specifically here in Washington, D.C., established the demand for an arms embargo on Israel, and is to demand that our politicians, the Biden administration, and the next administration, whoever that may be, to end all U.S. aid and end its complicity in this genocide. We know that without the financial backing and the diplomatic cover that the U.S. is providing on Israel, we know that this genocide would not have been possible.
At Saturday's rally near the White House, photojournalist Samuel Mina Jr. of Arizona was hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries after he lit his left arm on fire in an act of protest. Ahead of his self-immolation, Mina spoke of his guilt over participating in biased media coverage of Gaza, writing, quote, "How many Palestinians were killed that I allowed to be branded as Hamas? How many men, women, and children were struck with a missile co-signed by the American media?" The graduate of the Cronkite School of Journalism in Arizona asked. The Dominican Republic says it will immediately begin expelling up to 10,000 undocumented Haitian residents a week, despite warnings from the UN and rights groups about the worsening security and humanitarian situation in Haiti. The Dominican President Luis Abinader has made cracking down on Haitian communities and on his country's border with Haiti a central pillar of his presidency. The UN reported last month at least 3,660 people were killed in Haiti in the first half of this year due to gang violence. Just last week, a gang attack in central Haiti killed at least 70 people and displaced some 6,300 Haitians. In Mexico, the new mayor of Chilpancingo, capital of Guerrero State, was murdered Sunday, just days after taking office. Alejandro Arco's death came 3 days after the city's new secretary, Francisco Tapia, was shot dead. At least six candidates for public office in Mexico were killed in the lead-up to this year's June elections. Mexico's new president, Claudia Sheinbaum, who was inaugurated a week ago, has vowed to take on the homicide crisis and organized crime. In the United States, residents of Florida are once again evacuating their homes as Hurricane Milton barrels towards Florida's Gulf Coast, threatening major storm surges and widespread destruction around Tampa Bay and other areas. Milton is projected to make landfall by midweek as a Category 3 storm. This comes as the death toll from Hurricane Helene climbed to 232 people across six states. Donald Trump seized on the disaster to push misinformation about the Biden-Harris administration on the campaign trail, lying that federal authorities are denying help to Republicans in the stricken areas and that federal funds are being diverted from recovery efforts to house immigrants. Federal and local officials have taken to the airwaves to refute Trump's, quote, dangerous narrative. This is Tennessee Governor Bill Lee.
There's no confiscation of supplies or of products coming in by FEMA or TEMA. There's nothing but commitment to serving the people in this state. And those who spread that kind of misinformation, it's deeply unfortunate that that's happening.
That's Tennessee's Republican Governor Bill Lee. Meanwhile, The Intercept reports prisoners in North Carolina were left in their cells without running water or power for nearly a week, cut off from communication with the outside world and forced to keep their waste in plastic bags in their cells. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel intensified its attacks on Lebanon and Gaza over the weekend. In Lebanon, Israel launched its heaviest bombardment to date on Beirut and the city's southern suburbs. In Gaza, Israel ordered more than 300,000 Palestinians in northern Gaza to flee ahead of a new Israeli offensive as the official death toll in Gaza nears 42,000. The numbers are expected to be actually much higher. Israel's latest mass evacuation order came on the one-year anniversary of the start of its brutal war on Gaza following Hamas's attack on October 7th. Almost 1,200 people died in that October 7th attack, and about 250 people were taken hostage, of which some 100 remain in Gaza, though many of them are believed to have died in captivity. Vigils are being held across Israel today, with many calling for a ceasefire in Gaza. On Sunday, I reached the Israeli peace activist Maoz Inan. He lost both of his parents, Bilha and Yaakovi Inan, in the October 7th Hamas attack. His parents lived on a kibbutz, a farming collective just north of the Gaza border. They were 78 and 76 years old. Maoz Inan has spent much of the past year calling for peace. He recently wrote online, quote, "True security will only be achieved when the other side also enjoys security and stability. Morally, we cannot justify the killing of innocent people as part of the fight against terrorism. The harm to hundreds of innocent civilians is neither reasonable nor acceptable. These efforts should bring an end to the war in Gaza, return the hostages, end the occupation, and achieve a political security agreement alongside reconciliation." Maoz has spent the last year working side by side with Palestinian activists. He recently met with the Pope, and he also had a side meeting when Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu addressed a joint session of Congress. He and our guest coming up, Aziz Abu Sera, addressed Democratic Congress members who refused to attend Netanyahu's joint congressional address. We spoke to Maoz Inan just after he addressed one of the largest gatherings yesterday in Tel Aviv.
Maoz, thank you for joining us. Our condolences on this first anniversary of the death of your parents last October 7th. Can you share your reflections, as you did on the stage in Tel Aviv that you've just come off of, on this painful day?
We must move from thoughts, from prayers, from crossing our fingers for the Israelis and Palestinians. We must move to action, because everything I've seen coming happened, and even worse. And if we won't start act now, We're going to miss this year, which was the most bloodiest year in 100 years of conflict. But it can be so much worse. And the numbers of casualties, the amount of suffering, of destruction, can reach to a place we cannot imagine, like we could not imagine October 7th, the day before. So we must move to action, and we must do it now. And we must stop debating who's right and who's wrong, if I'm pro-Palestinian or pro-Israelis. If you want the conflict to end, you must support the peacemakers. You must force an immediate ceasefire. You must force a dialogue to release the hostages and Palestinian prisoners. And the world must force a dialogue between Israel, to Palestine, to Lebanon, and the region.
Maoz, can you tell us about your parents? How, as a result of their deaths a year ago, you became one of the most prominent Israeli peace activists today?
My parents were a loving parents. They were just supporting and caring for me and my four siblings and for their 11 grandchildren. And in October, now we are in October, and it's the season my father would sow wheat in the fields. For 60 years, my father was a farmer. For 60 years, he was sowing wheat in the fields of Israel. And it doesn't matter how devastating the year before was. If it was through floods or a drought, he would always sow again. And I would keep asking him, "Daddy, what are you doing? Why don't you give up? How come you don't do something else?" And he was keep telling me year after year, "Maoz, my son, next year will be better. Next year will be better, and I have the agency to make it better." So we all have the agency to make the future better. And I shared it also so many places that I had a dream. And in my dream, I saw the path to peace and reconciliation. I saw it in my dreams. And my mom was a very, very talented mandala painter. She painted thousands of mandalas. And from all the thousand mandalas she ever painted, she gave me only one, 8 years ago. And there she wrote, "We can fulfill all our dreams if we have the courage to chase them." My mom gave me the ability to dream. What, unfortunately, all the current global politicians lack the ability to dream of a better future. They are just debating and fighting over the past and the present, but they are not building, shaping, envisioning us a better future. So my mom gave me the possibility to dream and the courage to chase my dream. And this is what I'm doing. I'm continuing their legacy. This is how they raised me.
Maoz, early Sunday, an Israeli strike on a mosque in Gaza killed at least 19 people. Meanwhile, massive explosions have rocked Beirut, marking the most violent night of attacks since Israel started its military offensive against Lebanon late last month. Peace, many fear, is less attainable than ever. What do you think have been the biggest roadblocks to a ceasefire? What is needed now to end the bloodshed?
Amy, we are at the footsteps. We are at the footsteps, not of a regional war, of a global war, I'm afraid. But we can choose to hope over beyond this precipice to a better future. And we need to start dialogue with our enemies, like the European nation, the founders of the EU proved, between Italy and France, Germany and Belgium, Holland and Luxembourg, only a few years after the Second World War, where they were fighting among each other and killing 10 million from each other, they realized that the only way to prevent the next war is making the enemies of the past into the partners of the future. This is humanity legacy. But those who believe in war, they are naive because they have been failing again and again and again. So we now must force our leaders, our politicians, to give us concrete answers. What they are envisioning for the future and how they're going to take us there. It cannot be by bombs.
We're about to show clips of The Path Forward, a film that was made about you and your work with the Palestinian peace activist Aziz Abu Sada. You lost your parents a year ago. He lost his brother after he was imprisoned by Israel when he was a young man. The activism and work you've done together, he reached out to you right after your parents were killed, ultimately meeting with the Pope, addressing Congress members who refused to be there in the joint session of when Netanyahu addressed the U.S. Congress.
It means the world to me. It means the world to me. Because we are modeling, Aziz and I, but so many other Israelis and Palestinians, so many others, we are modeling a radical reconciliation. We are modeling a radical, better future. So, and we see how it's being spread.
What does it mean to you that President Biden continues to send billions of dollars worth of weapons to Israel, to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu?
And he also say that he's crossing our fingers for us, for the hostages. I'm not an American citizenship, so I cannot criticize your leaders. And it's not about blue or red, Republican or Democrat. If the American people and Biden administration are such a good friend of Israel, how can they explain that Israel today is as weak as ever? We are as weak as ever. All our borders are breached. The society from the inside is falling apart. And the hostages are left to die in Gaza. So if your actions are not effective, it's not a reason to give up. And it's definitely not a reason to keep doing the same thing. It's a reason to change your action. And this is what you must, President Biden, You must change your action. You must force the ceasefire.
Where does ending the occupation fit into this?
That's a must. Of course that's a must. There are two people between the river to the sea. There will be no security and safety to one without the other. There will be no shared, no recognition and acknowledgement to one, if not to the other. If there will be no equality and dignity to both people, there will be to none. So that's a must. This is something that, again, so we are waiting. Maybe at the last 3 months of his term, he will push for a UN Council resolution to force the end of the occupation. So now is the time to do it.
How many of the hostage families feel the way you do?
More and more. And again, I can give you numbers of hostages' families. I can give you numbers of bereaved families from October 7th that are keep approaching us and telling me, Maoz, we are standing with you. Maoz, you are right. You are right from the first time. And the only way now the discourse is changing to understand and acknowledge that the only way to bring the hostages back is to stop the war. That's the only way. And we'll stop the war, and then they will be able, Hamas will be able to give them oxygen and water and food. And then to start a negotiation. But military pressure is killing them.
What gives you the most hope as you stand after addressing this largest venue in Tel Aviv on this first anniversary of the death of your parents?
I think that we start shifting the discourse. And this is what's needed, to shift the discourse from war to peace. And when I was saying the same words, Amy, a few days after my parents died, that we must stop the war, we must bring the hostages, that should be the first priority, and we must start a peace process. This is what I was saying from day one. But at the beginning, no one was willing to listen to me. In Israel and overseas. And now I have no time in my day and night to answer and get all those requests to speak, to be interviewed from Israelis and internationally. So we are shifting the discourse, and we are working very hard. We are working very hard, but I won so many brothers and sisters in the last year that started with losing my parents. But I won so many brothers and sisters, Palestinian Israelis from the international community, and my brothers and sisters, they are not giving me hope. We are making hope together.
The Israeli peace activist Maoz Inan, his parents Bilha and Yaakov Inan, were killed in the October 7th Hamas attack 1 year ago today. Coming up, we'll speak to the man he travels the world with, Palestinian peace activist Aziz Abu Sara. Maoz and Aziz are featured in the new documentary, The Path Forward. The film's co-director, the Oscar-nominated Julie Cohen, will also join us. Stay with us.
Now I've been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come. And I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one. And I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country, come take me home again. About the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Peace Train
by Yusuf Islam, formerly known as Cat Stevens. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. As we continue to mark the one-year anniversary of the Hamas October 7th attack on Israel and the star of Israel, the beginning of Israel's relentless assault on Gaza, we turn now to The Path Forward, a new short film that features the stories of Israeli and Palestinian peace activists who've joined together calling for a ceasefire in Gaza and an end to the occupation. This is a trailer for The Path Forward.
Want to stop the killing of our children and your children.
We are crying for the world to act now before it will be too late.
From their deepest pain.
What happened to my parents on October 7th? Some nights I cried throughout the night.
If somebody kills your brother, you want to hurt whoever hurts your family.
They found their greatest purpose.
Every relationship that I will be able to build with Palestinians, it's very meaningful.
It didn't matter to me that his parents were Jewish. Those who were killed were my people.